fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. You just got called up to the big league, son. Welcome to the show. This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, let's cue the Derek Jeter love-in, shall we? Just kidding. This is Primetime Sports for Friday, August 29th. I'm Jeff Blair, sitting in for Bob McCowan. McCowan will be back on Tuesday. It will be the Friday roundtable because this is Friday. That means I will be joined by three of our top journalists, commentators. In the case of Dave Perkins, man about town, Dave Perkins, Doug Smith, and Mike Zeisberger will join me at 5 o'clock when the roundtable assembles. But up to then, we're going to take your calls. I want to talk a little bit about, with Derek Jeter playing his final series as a member of the Yankees, his final series in Toronto, starting tonight at the Rogers Centre. And Derek Jeter, clearly a transcendent figure in baseball. And there are naysayers out there who are going to criticize his career. Yeah, that's fine. They're in a small minority. Guy's 40 years old. He's played for a long time in a big market. The argument as to whether or not he's a first ballot Hall of Famer is just simply ludicrous. But there are people out there who have no problem poking holes in Derek Jeter's game, and they'll tell you that he doesn't. His range was never that good, and yada yada yada. The problem, of course, is that their analysis, which comes from the safety of the couch or the press box, is superseded by opinions of people who play the game, which is always the case. So I started thinking about Derek Jeter today and wanted to come up with kind of a general call topic. It is a long weekend. Everybody's going about doing things last weekend before the kids are back to school. Some of you may have kids already back in school, so I didn't want to like narrow the scope too much. But I wanted to sort of frame the discussion today before the roundtable by talking about the athletes we have in Toronto right now and asking the question, who is our superstar, transcendent athlete in this city? Do we have one? Do we need one? Is it more important for a city to have that team that everybody rallies around as opposed to having a superstar player? Now, I go around from team to team in this city. The only player in any sport who would register in the international stage, frankly, is Jermaine Defoe of Toronto FC. With all due respect to Jose Bautista and DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, and anybody from the Maple Leafs. They don't come close to Jermaine Defoe in terms of, you don't call it Q rating internationally. But I don't know if I'd consider Jermaine Defoe a superstar. The guy wasn't good enough to make the English national team. He's clearly at the tail end of his career playing out the string. And that's not to denigrate by any stretch of the imagination Jermaine Defoe or his career. But I would say he's the guy. So I want to use that to frame the discussion, and we can branch off into other areas if you want to talk about the Jays or Jeter or the Leafs or the Raptors, DeMar DeRozan and Team USA, get the World Basketball Championship started. You want to talk about Toronto FC, that's fine. I want to talk about general stuff, NHL expansion. I'm not normally a big fan of just doing a general open phones thing, but it's Friday. Everybody's kind of laid back. People are kicking back, looking forward to the long weekend. So how about it? Is there anybody in Toronto, who is a transcendent sports figure? 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. And no, you don't get bonus points for saying Bob McCowan. If you want to reach me on Twitter, my Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. I have no arrows here to tell me which call to go through. I have what they refer to as a technical... Now I do. There I go. Finally, it all worked out. Let's go to Bill in Port Credit. You're on Primetime Sports. What's up, Bill?
Good afternoon. I was going to ask you about the Pan Am Games.
Go ahead. Anything. I'm all yours for the next hour. Seriously.
You are too generous.
I know. Don't tell people that, Bill. They'll expect it from me from now on.
Do you have a kid who swims, if that's correct?
Water polo now, but yes.
Water polo. Well, excellent. Okay, so a couple days ago, Adam Vancouverden was on with the Morning Guys. He mentioned that Toronto has 2 50-meter swimming pools, whereas Sydney, I believe, or Melbourne in Australia has 50 50-meter swimming pools. So what I wanted to ask about, and of course we've all seen the pictures of the abandoned Olympic facilities in many, many cities. So I don't know if the Pan Am Games are going to be good or bad, or how much money Bob McCown will make from renting out his house, but are the facilities going to be available for public use afterwards? And will it actually improve in 10, 15, 20 years the athletic achievements of Canada on the international stage?
Yes, the facilities will be used for the community. And you're absolutely right. It's a disgrace that this city, a city of this size, doesn't have more than two 50-meter pools. Here's the problem, though, and I have an issue, and I heard the interview, but I have an issue with comparing it to Sydney. Sydney doesn't have as many ice rinks as we do. And my point is, we're a winter sports country. Australia is a summer sports country. Now, and I'm not saying, you know, I want to get into an argument about, well, you know, one, clearly swimming in terms of being available to the masses is a much, you'd much rather have swimming pools, right? In terms of societal health and societal fitness. But what I'm saying is, comparing the number of pools in Sydney to the number of pools in Toronto is, you know, of course Sydney's going to have more pools. It's a summer sports country. We're a winter sports country. Where I have a problem with our approach to facilities in Canada, and it's the same thing in North America, is we don't do anything. We do jack to improve our amateur facilities unless there's an event being held in our country. We are so short-sighted. We need the Pan Am Games to build facilities that, quite frankly, take a much farther step towards benefiting society as a whole than just building another arena. Building another arena, if you don't skate, you can't use it. We need to build more pools. We need to build more playgrounds. We need to build more gyms that people have access to whatever they want to do, play basketball. But we don't do that unless we hold an international event, which is just stupid. But, you know, that's how we prioritize the importance of fitness and athletics in Canada. That's in North America. I mean, that's just the way we are. And, you know, this is a city that gets excited when they have a mayor that puts an extra $50 a year in their pocket. This is a city that doesn't ever want to pay for the things that make a city better. Never. You'd rather have 50 more bucks in your pocket at the end of the year than better transit. And that's just the way we are in Canada. You'd rather have that extra $50 than have a facility that contributes to the betterment of society. That's fine. People in Canada think they're overtaxed, so it's understandable they would look at it that way. But it is sad that the only time we fix anything up in this country, it seems, is either when it falls apart, like the Gardener, or when we got a big event. Then we'll build anything. I mean, the need for facilities in this city was around years before we got the Pan Am Games. But you need the Pan Am Games to get that government infrastructure revenue generated. You need the big machine doesn't start spewing out bucks until there's a big event. And I know there's an economic reason for that. Obviously, money comes into the economy, yada, yada. But we just don't value physical education. We don't value fitness in our society until, in our society, I'm talking about North America, until we got a big event. It's just the way we are. We'd rather save a little bit of money than build facilities to make society better. Eddie in Fort Erie, you're on Primetime Sports.
Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Good, man.
I just want to say, before I get to my comments, I just want to wish you and your family a happy long weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right. A couple of things I want to talk about. Number one, you mentioned about greatest superstars in Toronto and that sort of thing. For me, it's Jose Bautista, and everyone's going to be like, why Bautista? He's a crybaby, that sort of thing. Yeah, you have your opinion, but you know what? The reason I think Bautista's the guy is because we got him from nothing, and he started becoming the Jose Bautista that we know now, because you know what? Vernon Wells was kind of on a decline. Alex Rios was on his way out. And we need something to, you know, to get us energized when you go to the ballpark or watch on TV or listen on radio. And Jose Bautista was the guy. I mean, I can remember his first at bat. I think it was in Boston. He had a tape measure home run right over Fenway Park. And I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. And then he started hitting some home runs, you know, coming off the bench in 2010, we know what happened. So for me, it's Jose Bautista. Now, as far as Derek Jeter goes, I want to talk about him. I'm very happy to say that I'm going to be there Sunday to see him get his gift or whatever it is, like a check or that sort of thing. But you know what? As God is my witness, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to root for that guy when he's at bat or when he gets his stuff, mm-hmm. whatever he's going to get. And you know what? I'm not the biggest Jeter in the world, but you know, like fan in the world, but you know what? I like the guy for what he's done, and anytime you do something good, talent wins me over, and I think, you know, it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to being there Sunday to see what the Blue Jays give him.
It should be a lot of fun, Eddie. I appreciate the call. I think it'll be a hoot. Random person, Franco Random on Twitter. He thinks that to honor Jeter at Sunday's Jays game, fans at the Rogers Center should do a roll call for Jays players. Like the Yankees fans do in New York, you know, where the right field bleachers start chanting the player's name and he nods toward them. And he thinks that fans at the Rogers Center should do it in the top of the inning for the Jays and then the bottom of the first for Jeter. I think that's kind of a neat idea. Won't happen, though. But I think it's a neat idea. Sean and Colbert, you're on Primetime Sports.
JB, how you doing today, man?
Doing well.
Hey, listen, can I make a call? You know, look it. You know, I'm a team player, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
I usually like to play along with you. I know you always do, you know, you run your ship because you always got a question. You always do that in the morning, so you're doing that here. That's all well and good. And I usually play along with you, Jeff, because you're not a bad guy. You're missed in the morning, by the way.
My wife likes seeing me at home in the morning.
Pardon me?
My wife likes seeing me at home in the morning.
Okay, I wish I could say the same thing. But anyways, what I was going to say is this. That, you know, I know you're a big baseball guy, and you know, I'm not going to say, like, a lot of excuses get done throughout the year. And, I know this Blue Jay thing's been beat to death, Jeff.
Yep.
But you know, you kind of this week, you know what, you did it kind of understated, but, you know, the $135 million or whatever, the Blue Jays have spent,
mm-hmm.
you said it really, you know, maybe it could be, you know, like misspent maybe, okay? Now, the other thing of it is this, you know, all these player movements that get done, I think you, because I was wondering about that, that's an upper management call, not Gibby's call, correct?
Oh, yeah. What do you mean, in terms of players brought up and sent down from the minors?
Yeah, this shuffle off the bench.
Yeah, that's done by the GM and manager. No, I mean, you know, it's done in a meeting before it happens.
Okay,
so
good.
They'll ask, in other words, what I'm saying is they'll ask Gibby's opinion.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, but it's not his call, really, is it?
Not totally.
He doesn't hold the hammer. Okay, that's good. Here's my last thing, and I hope you have a good weekend, Jeff. But I'm really wondering about this. Malky.
Yes.
His contract. He's
yes.
going to be UFA, right?
Yes, agent. He'll be a free agent, yeah.
Okay. do you know if he's been offered a contract at this point? Does he even really want to sign with the Blue Jays, or what's the holdup here? Why are they going to just wait till the end of the year, let this guy go out there and sniff around?
Yeah, he has.
If you can answer that for me, Jeff, that'd be great.
Yeah, he has not been offered a contract by the Blue Jays. My understanding is his agents have let it be known that they're not interested in that they're interested in pursuing the free agent market, because as we've seen over the past couple of years, the free agent market is getting thinner and thinner and thinner, and the bar has been lowered when it comes to, you know, if free agent salaries. There's just not as many star free agents out there anymore. So guys, I'm not going to say Melky's mediocre, but nobody would look at Melky and say that's a superstar outfielder. But guys like him are getting pretty good money. And I think he wants to test the market, because Melky, for the past 2 years, he signed a 2-year contract at $8 million a year with the Jays after coming off his suspension for PED use. He's made less money. He's made much less money. He's probably made $3 million a year less than he would have made if he hadn't been nailed for PED use. It's a business. And Melky wants to make back the money that he lost. So he'll test free agency. I know his agents a little bit, Sam and Seth Levinson. I've known him for a while. I think they'll give the Jays every opportunity to sign him. And I can't sit here right now and tell you that I don't think he'll be back. It's going to be hard to bring him back, but I think the Jays will have the resources to do that if they want. And I've been on the record. If it's me, I got Melky signed at the All-Star break. I do with Melky the exact same thing I did with Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista. I made the point. I take a leap of faith with Melky Cabrera. But the Jays haven't done it. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Toronto have a superstar athlete. Is there any superstar athlete on the horizon that you can see? And, you know, maybe you're one of those people that doesn't think it's important. Tyler Loader or Lauder. I would suggest we need a superstar that a team rallies behind, Jeter being a prime example. I'm making the case that in this city right now, the athlete with the highest international profile, Frankly, it's probably Donovan Bailey. If you had to pick one individual in Toronto, one sports person in Toronto, and say who's got the highest international profile, it's probably our friend Donovan. But of active athletes, it would be DeMar DeRozan. Jermaine Defoe. DeMar DeRozan maybe, because he's getting a little more international recognition, and basketball's more of an international sport than the other sports in the city. Kevin in Edmonton, you're in Primetime Sports.
Hi, Jeff. Hopefully you're having a great Friday if it is.
I am indeed.
I agree with you with DeRozan about the first question. I don't think he's going to be a superstar player, but I think he's going to be a multiple-time All-Star as it is. And it's tough to crack the All-Star team with only 12 spots available for that roster. But I don't think he'll be a superstar, though. My second question is regarding Derek Jeter. I'm not as all as love-fest about Derek Jeter like the whole media is right now. But my question is, Derek Jeter is going to be a Hall of Fame player, obviously, in 5 years for first ballot candidacy. I'm just wondering if Derek Jeter will be the first player ever elected with 100% capacity vote, because that has never happened yet.
No, it won't.
Some people are the closest.
Won't happen. You know what? There are a lot of people who vote for the Hall of Fame that, let me rephrase it. There's not a lot. I know three off the top of my head who have never voted for anybody in the first ballot because they don't believe there should be such a thing have not voted for people because they don't believe there should be such a thing as a unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer. I know people who don't vote for people in their first ballot because they don't think that there's such a thing as a first ballot Hall of Famer. Derek Jeter will be among that group that comes really close. but he won't be a unanimous. He won't be a unanimous selection. Now, a lot of those people who feel that way, but I've got to be really careful. The people that I know who feel that way are older voters. And I don't know if they're 5 years down the road, if they'll still be voting. I mean, I think Derek Jeter's a slam dunk first ballot Hall of Famer as I've seen in my lifetime. But I would be stunned if he gets 100%. Walter in Toronto, you're on Primetime Sports.
Mr. Blair, thank you for taking my call, sir.
No problem.
Okay, so I have a few comments, sir. First and foremost, we do not have that international superstar here. I don't think any of the sports really need it except for baseball.
Okay.
Hockey, we're 25 years down the road in season tickets. Basketball, we're selling out whether we were winning or losing for a few years there. And soccer is so international in this community, in the GTA, that you don't need that superstar. Now, baseball, I do believe, is the sport that needs that superstar. Now, to go off another topic here, Mr. Blair, I'm one of those Derek Jeter naysayers. I mean, I truly respect him as a baseball player, as an individual. I also believe he was awarded a golden spoon in the baseball family. The New York, if you put Jeter on any other team when he came up, he would not have won four or five World Series, whatever he won. But Mr. Blair, I mean, you can look at the greats. Our comparison in this country is to hockey, to any sport. I think you would agree. And my comparison to Derek Jeter is not that of Wayne Gretzky, is not that of Mary Lemieux. And those are greats. Those are guys who took literally teams on their shoulders for a couple of years of losing to transform them into championship teams, where Derek Jeter was given payroll, not himself, but as a team, was given the payroll, was giving the backing. All he had to do was do what Derek Jeter does. That was play shortstop, be a team player, and hit the ball. I mean, he's hit 3,600 hits or whatever his number is because he's that good. But put him on another team when he first came up in this league, Mr. Blair, I don't see it. Thank you for taking my time. And DeMar DeRozan, congratulations, sir. Being on the world championship team for the biggest basketball country in the world, kudos to you, sir. I can't wait to see you in Toronto again this year. Take care, Mr. Blair. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. So are we to say then that Babe Ruth isn't a Hall of Famer? He played in a real good team. He had some pretty good players around him. I understand the argument. I don't think anybody has ever said that Derek Jeter is the greatest of all time. I don't believe that case has been made. I believe Derek Jeter's career is celebrated because he played a lot of games. He played a difficult position well enough to gain an inordinate amount of respect from his peers. You know, people talk about gold gloves are useless. They are. But it's remarkable how many awards Derek Jeter gets that are player or manager or coach selected awards. And I always find it odd that the same people who crap on fans for the All-Star votes and say, oh, we should have a different, it's got to be done differently. You got to put players and coaches, you got to give them more votes. Don't take a look at the Gold Glove Awards, for example, which are voted on by players, coaches. I mean, there are a lot. Derek Jeter finishes high in any poll the players or coaches vote on. And I think that says something right there. I don't think anybody's ever said he's the greatest. I don't think anybody's ever made a comparison to Mario Lemieux or Wayne Gretzky. Certainly not Michael Jordan. You know, I don't think he's cut that cloth. I don't know if anybody in baseball ever will be. Barry Bonds was a much more was much closer to being the greatest than Jeter. But I think people celebrate Derek Jeter's career for a sustained level of excellence in a tough market. Has any, you know, am I going to sit here and tell you he's the best defensive shortstop I've seen? Nope. Not even close. Best offensive shortstop I've seen? Nope. Not even close. But he's been shortstop of the New York Yankees for a long time. And he's been a pretty good representative for the game. He was the face of a sport that at times looks awfully white. There are a lot of Latino players in the game. But Derek Jeter was one of those few baseball players who could move comfortably through a variety of cultural camps. Baseball hasn't had a player like that. And for those reasons, you know, I consider Derek Jeter to be an obvious first ballot Hall of Famer. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's the greatest ever. I don't think Derek Jeter would tell you he's not the greatest ever. I don't know if he was ever the greatest ever. I don't know if he was ever the best player in the game. But I'm not certain that that determines an individual's first ballot Hall of Fame eligibility. And I keep getting back to this. With all due respect to Derek Jeter's critics, I put a lot more stock in what people who played the game or coached the game or managed the game say than what people who just watch the game say. Harjeet in Brampton, you're on Primetime Sports.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I just wanted to bring up Derek Jeter, and I don't think how the Blue Jays should be honoring him, or any team for that matter should technically honor him. Because, I mean, as good as a player he is, I mean, are we going to honor like all the good players and be like, oh, this guy is one of the best ever, let's honor him at the end of their career?
So you didn't want to honor Mariano Rivera?
I mean, as good as they are, but are we going to be doing this for every good player that comes through baseball when they're like, okay, end of the season, I'm going to retire?
What if we do? Do you have a problem with it?
Well, I do. I feel like, you know, just get on with the game. Like, I do feel that it is a waste of time at the beginning of the game.
Okay.
So, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say
yeah.
that.
I mean, anyhow. 416-870-0590, *591, triple H. Okay, it's a waste of time. We shouldn't honor anybody. All the things that make baseball slow, and I love it, but God Almighty, it can be a freaking slow game. When I list all the things that make it slow, I never put pregame ceremonies there. And in point of fact, one of the things I like about Derek Jeter's retirement tour is it hasn't been that intrusive. Get it done before the game, steps in the box, people give him a standing ovation, tips his cap, boom. There has not been an athlete on a farewell tour who spent less time acknowledging the crowd than Derek Jeter has. That's just the way he is. 416-870-0590, *591, *888-666-0590. Maybe we shouldn't honor good players. You can reach me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. And, we'll continue our discussion, our very general discussion on Derek Jeter, on superstar athletes in Toronto or the lack thereof, on anything you want to talk about, because we can. It's Friday. The round table will assemble at 5 o'clock. And Harjeet, just for you, we are going to go live to Derek Jeter's news conference at the Rogers Center, his pregame news conference at the Rogers Center, sometime in the 5 o'clock hour. Harjeet, just for you. We are going live to the news conference. This is Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the best sports talk on the planet on Sportsnet 590.
All right, the Friday Roundtable will join us at 5 o'clock. Dave Perkins, Doug Smith, Mike Zeisberger. We will talk a little baseball. We'll go live to Derek Jeter's news conference just for our friend Harjeet, who's tired of us celebrating great players. We'll discuss the Michael Sam story, talk about NHL expansion. We'll talk about the NFL's new domestic violence policy. We'll have a lot to talk about. That'll be the Friday Roundtable at 5 bells. Until then, we'll take your calls at 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Jeff Blair in for one more day. Bob McCown will be back in this chair on Tuesday. And we're taking your calls. We're focusing on whether or not Toronto has a superstar athlete. And is it important to have a superstar athlete in a city, or do you need a super team in a city? What would you rather have as a fan? There's a guy out there. Now, I threw out a name, Donovan Bailey, one of the few people to hold the world's fastest men records and do it clean. I think he's probably, in terms of international exposure, got as much as anybody in the city. Jermaine Defoe plays in this city. Probably a bigger star elsewhere than he is in Toronto. But there's a guy out there nobody's mentioned yet. Caller in Severn Bridge. You're on Primetime Sports. You're about to break that shutout, aren't you?
That's right, Jeff. Yes. So I hope you have a good weekend.
You too.
I think Milos. Milos Raonic.
There you go.
Consider our top international athlete.
I would think that's... That is absolutely accurate.
Yeah. He's ranked fifth in the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he can live up to that or not, he's lost to Federer several times. He's lost to Djokovic.
Is he a superstar, though?
Well, he is in Canadian minds. I'm a tennis player,
mm-hmm.
so in my mind he is. And tennis gets a big international audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's France, it's England, it's Australia. And all the other countries, I mean, the Russians, you got to think who watches these Grand Slam events. And
he's
so
probably,
they all know his name.
He's probably he has to be the best known Toronto athlete. I'd put him there. Donovan Bailey, I think if you mentioned Donovan Bailey to a lot of people around the world, although you might have to be of a certain age, but they'd probably remember who he is too.
Sure.
But you're right. No, it's a great point. He is without question the highest profile athlete
mm-hmm.
from Toronto.
I have a bone to pick with you, Jeff.
Okay.
Yesterday, you were talking about the best management of Toronto teams, and you talked about the NFL, the NHL, the NBA.
Best management.
It was basically management, wasn't it? Who
the team that is closest to making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Which
yes.
Kind of, and topless Nigeria.
Yes.
How well
yeah.
have they done, and where are we at?
Right.
But you left out TFC, and I just wonder why you didn't include TFC.
Because I forgot. Well, I mean, I did. I'm a soccer fan. I forgot, and I don't know if I would. I think TFC still has a lot of issues. Now, they're not going to be, they're not going to have Jermaine Defoe this week or this weekend. They may be out, they may be without him for a while. Let's see where they are then. Because they're a much improved team. They've added some really good players, but they still have a lot of fundamental flaws. And I think if you heard the interview, or I would actually suggest you read John Molinaro's interview with Tim Bezbachenko, their GM on Sportsnet.ca. I'm not entirely certain I would say that they're any closer to the quote-unquote promised land than the Raptors, or frankly, even the Blue Jays. Closer to making the playoffs, yeah. But I don't know beyond that. I don't think TFC is good enough to go on a run in the playoffs. I can see them making the playoffs and being a first-round casualty. Rocky and Markham, you're on Primetime Sports.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good.
I would put Phil Kessel under consideration because he's yet to scratch his surface yet, and he's still a 30% goal scorer. But the topic I really want to talk about is the Blue Jays farm system.
Yep.
I remember the you mentioned about Kendall Graveman's. I listened to his stats. Yeah, it's unbelievable. He only got drafted last year, and he has a 13-6 record with a 1.72 ERA, which is unbelievable. But the main reason I want to talk about is John Stilson. I think he could be the future closer for the Blue Jays because his fastball is pretty unbelievable. Like it touches in the mid 90s. It could touch up to 98 miles per hour. His numbers were pretty good in the past until he had surgery. And I also brought up, remember about how I believe Dalton Pompey might be the starting center for the Blue Jays next year, and I still feel that because the way he's playing right now, he's batting over 300, and if you compare Anthony Gosa's numbers to Pompey's numbers, Pompey has a career 275 in the minors, whether for Gosa's 250, and it's up and down, but I really think this Jays farm team is finally getting started, but I would like to see them. I would like to see a few of those when they get called up in September. Maybe they could audition for next year's roster for 2015. And by the way, I hope you have a great long weekend.
Thank you. You too. I have to admit, I haven't heard, and I spent last week talking to people in the organization about possible closers. Nobody really mentioned Stilson's name, which, yeah, and I have to admit, I didn't press them on Stilson's name. As far as Dalton Pompey goes, I think that I was probably a little wrong about him. I had Dalton Pompey as a guy who would need another full year in the minors. I think he might be a little closer than I think he is, but I don't see him being the everyday center fielder. But having said that, let's see what happens in the offseason with spending on pitchers, infielders, a replacement for Melky Cabrera and or Colby Rasmus. Because the Jays could be in a position where the door is open for somebody like Dalton Pompey to have a tremendous spring and get and win a job. And let's remember, this isn't a 19-year-old kid we're talking about. He's a 5 or 6 year minor leaguer. Camille in Toronto, you're in Primetime Sports.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good.
First time caller.
Welcome.
Just a couple things about the superstardom, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a couple of things that are intrinsically linked to superstardom, and those are results and a certain swagger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the current so-called, who we consider superstars to be in our city right now, just haven't attained those things. And I mean by results, I mean championships,
mm-hmm.
huge off-the-field contributions. So, like Vince Carter, for example, was a true superstar because he put, you know, Toronto on the map in a basketball sense. The current guys just haven't attained, you know, results of a championship or, you know, having that impact on the city. And the swagger, you know, like somebody like DeMar DeRozan just doesn't have the temperament. Like, you know, the talent is there, but that swagger is just not there. He's not going to get the following. And, you know, again, going back to Vince had it, you know, the athletic ability was unreal. And, you know, he had that certain swagger. So, but I think the results, you know, either championship or off the field, you know, putting us on the map in an international sense is huge.
Mm.
And one last thing, I'm going to the game tonight with my brother and my two nephews. We're going to have a blast.
It would be great.
We'll see Derek Jeter. And I think, you know, I agree with a previous caller about, you know, somehow to some degree wasting time on honors and things. That's what the Hall of Fame is for. But you know what? We're doing it. Let them enjoy it. Thanks.
Appreciate the call. Have a good time at the game tonight. Justin Funk on Twitter. Give me the super team. Superstars just break your heart when they want out. Clemens, V. Carter, Bosch, to name a few. Jason Swaby throws out, what about Andrew Wiggins? Last few months, his name is mentioned in the same breath as LeBron James. So Andrew Wiggins, Milos Raonic. See, I think that there are athletes who are, at Toronto athletes who are known internationally. Milos Raonic might be the most known guy right now. Wiggins, make a case for that. Basketball is a big international sport, getting bigger all the time. And Canada is in its ascendancy as a basketball country. And Raonic is, of course, known internationally. Guarantee you Milos Raonic is known more than anybody the Leafs have. Is known more around the world than anybody the Leafs have, anybody the Jays have, or even anybody the Raptors have, just by the nature of a sport. Keith in Burlington, you're on Primetime Sports.
Good afternoon, Jeff.
Hey, Keith.
So, I've talked to you a few times. Very rarely do I come up with anything radio-worthy.
Okay.
So, I spoke to your fellow off-air, and we talked a little bit about this, and he made the call to put me through, so
all right.
It's on him.
All right.
So, anyways, I'm a skating instructor, and
yep.
I have a couple of kids who weren't drafted but have gotten invitations to the camps that are going on right now in the OHL.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had a few of the parents kind of texting me, letting me know how things are going. And so I'm kind of learning how to go here. And I've discovered from what one of them have told me, this NCAA Rule 48.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much you know about this, so I don't mean to put you on the spot.
I think that's the pollution rule, isn't it? If you, even if you don't take any money, if you show up and train with people who are being paid, you are automatically considered to have played with professional athletes, correct?
Yeah, you probably know more about this than I do. My understanding, just from kind of researching it, having heard of it, you know, just only a couple hours ago, let's take this kid, for example, who's in the camp right now. He can have all the inter-squad games he wants, but the moment he plays an exhibition game, let's say against another OHL team,
mm-hmm.
apparently his NCAA eligibility is done.
Yeah, that's the welcome to the world of the NCAA. They don't want you to get paid until you get to college, and even then they don't want you to get paid anything but underneath the table. Yeah, it's one of the things. Hockey is a sport that perhaps is affected more by it than any other sport. It's one of the things the NCAA does. It's absolutely ludicrous. But that's the way it's been for a long time. And, you know, the only thing I can say is it's the reason parents have to be really careful with what they get their kids involved in or involved with in the off season if they want to go on and get a scholarship. It is remarkable. The NCAA will pursue something like that to the nth degree, but they'll turn a blind eye to a lot of other stuff that goes on. That's just the NCAA. I mean, quite frankly, there's a special place in hell for a lot of NCAA administrators. I mean, that's just the way it is. The Friday Roundtable will assemble. It will be Dave Perkins, Doug Smith, Mr. Mike Zeisberger. We will talk about the Jays and Yankees. Their series starts tonight at the Rogers Center. We will join Derek Jeter's news conference live sometime between 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock. We'll talk about Derek Jeter, Michael Sam, NHL expansion, the NFL toughening its domestic violence policy, and all sorts of other things. With this group, I don't know where the discussion will go. You'll have to join us to find out. This is Primetime Sports, and this is the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.